Richard and I like to watch a show called House Hunters International on HGTV. Anybody ever watch that show? That's a great show. Oh, you all watch it. Oh my gosh, we love that show. So the show is about people who have decided to move to another country, and they're out shopping looking for a place to live, for a house or an apartment. Sometimes they're moving for work or for school. Sometimes they're moving because they've retired. And sometimes they're moving just because they want to see what it's like to live in a foreign country, which I have to admit, that's something I've always thought would be really great. And some of those images of France and Spain and New Zealand are pretty enticing. But often people say they want to move to another country in order to slow down and find better work-life balance. And when I hear that, a part of me thinks, well, good luck with that. Not to be cynical, but the fact is that slowing down is an inside job. It's not an outer one. If you have ever been lying on a beach somewhere, unable to relax because your mind was racing, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we can be in the most beautiful, idyllic paradise on earth, but if we're worrying about our families or our work or some issue or problem, it really doesn't matter where we are. We could be anywhere because we're not present. So this idea of slowing down is really a matter of our internal environment more than our external one. Which brings us to today. This pandemic, for most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us, has kind of created a slowed down reality. It's a very strange reality, actually, but it feels very slowed down, largely because we can't do the things we normally do. We can't go to the places we usually go to. Most things are closed, and you know, the sporting events and the concerts and all the major gatherings have been canceled. Our calendars are pretty empty, except for Zoom meetings. And every day kind of feels like the next day, and the next, and the next. And so we are experiencing this outer slowing down, but not necessarily an inner slowing down. And so, you know, life has slowed down, but the real question is, have we slowed down with it? Or is our internal motor just running as fast as ever? Well, as many of us know, Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, became infected with COVID-19 while they were over in Australia. And after they have recovered, I think they've pretty much recovered by now, and Tom Hanks has been talking about the experience, and he shared this story. He said that one day, so they were staying in this isolated room, an air pressurized room, and Tom Hanks said that one day the nurse walked into the room and asked him, "How are you feeling?" And Hanks said, "I just had the weirdest thing happen. I tried to do basic stretches and exercises on the floor, and I couldn't even get halfway through." He said he was wiped out just 12 minutes into his 30-minute exercise routine. And he said the nurse just kind of stared at him, and I'm sure she had just this incredulous look on her face. And she said to him, "You have COVID-19. Well, obviously, that hadn't completely registered with him. You know, we humans are sort of hesitant to slow down. It doesn't come to us easily. Now, let me just pause for a moment to acknowledge that this pandemic hasn't meant a slowed down existence for everyone. Some people are busier than ever. And in fact, they're working overtime. They're putting themselves at risk. They're working very long hours in order to take care of us. You know, these healthcare workers and service providers and all the essential workers out there who are just giving it their all. And I'm sure for them that life feels more fast-paced than ever, that they truly feel that there just aren't enough hours in the day. And so God bless them. And just take a moment to appreciate them. But I also believe that even in that sort of situation, even in that context of being very busy, that we can still cultivate the art of slowing down. Not to slow down on the outside necessarily, but to slow down on the inside. You see, when we say we want to slow down, I think what we really want is for our minds to slow down, right? I mean, sure, we want our physical bodies to relax, but what we want the most is for this constant sort of frenzied mental activity to just kind of take a pause. Whatever is going on in our lives, whether we're bored at home or whether we're stressed out at work, what we long for is that place of inner peace within us, that sort of oasis that we can be our touchstone, that we can turn to for whatever resources we need. We want that expansive presence in us where we can find ease and order and one thing flowing very naturally into the next. Well, the good news is that is absolutely within our control. Because this idea of slowing down on the inside is simply a matter of awareness. It's a matter of being conscious about where we place our attention and what thoughts we choose to believe. And truly, no one speaks about this, in my view, any better than Eckhart Tolle. And Eckhart Tolle says that the key to finding inner peace, which, let's face it, is really what slowing down is all about, right? You want to find that place of peace and calm within you. He says the key to that, to finding that, is learning to differentiate between the situation we're in and what we're telling ourselves about the situation. He says most people are not able to separate the experience that they're having from their commentary about it. And as a result, they suffer. So many of us during this pandemic are having thoughts along the lines of, maybe, my life is falling apart, or the world is falling apart, or things are only going to get worse. Well, these are the kind of thoughts that create great sort of angst in us, that keep that internal mental chatter going, that keep us all worked up and frenzied inside. But they're just thoughts. The thoughts are not the experience. They're just our commentary. And it's the commentary that causes the suffering. So in order to relieve the suffering, we have to release the commentary, right? We have to stop telling ourselves all these different things we're making up about why is this happening and what's going to happen, what does it all mean? You know, chatter, chatter, chatter. When we let that go, we realize what a waste of energy that is. Because honestly, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to get easier or harder. We don't know if it's going to get better or worse. We don't know when it's going to shift. We don't know any of that. All we really know is what's happening right now. What's happening right now? You're there. I'm here. We're sharing this service together in this now moment. It's a very rich moment. It's a very beautiful, uniting moment. And when the next thing happens, we'll be in that now moment and ready to be a part of that. You see, this is how life is lived, one now moment at a time. And all of the rest, the commentary around it, is really unnecessary. You know, here's what I like to remember, tell myself, the drama is optional. The drama is optional. Will you say that with me? The drama is optional. And evidently, that is a lesson that we get to learn over and over again. Friday night, in the middle of the night, Richard coughed. Richard coughed, not just once, but several times. And I got up and went to the bathroom, and when I came back, he told me that he had gotten a cough drop. And I said, Richard, do you have a sore throat? And he said, yes, it feels scratchy. And then he turned over and went back to sleep. But I didn't. I didn't. Instead, I had a very elaborate commentary that took over that went something like this: oh my gosh, Richard's getting sick. I cannot believe he has no idea about this. How could this possibly have happened? We've been so careful. How could he have gotten infected? You know, I thought he felt a little warm tonight when we said goodnight. And then it went on. What if I get sick? Now I'm going to get sick. If I get sick, you had no idea, did you? If I get sick, I can't be able to be with my daughter after she has her baby. Oh my gosh, I was so worked up about this. The next morning, I said to Richard, how are you feeling? And he said, great. And I said, well, what about the cough? And he goes, my throat was just dry because the air was blowing in on it. Okay, this isn't about Richard, this is about me. Because there was the experience that Richard coughed. And then there was my whole narrative about that experience that Richard was getting sick. Well, where did the suffering come from? It came from making that second story, that story, my reality. If I had just stayed in the experience, Richard coughed. Okay, we'll figure that out tomorrow. And even if he had been getting sick, it was only until the next day that we could deal with it, not that night at 3 a.m. But instead, I held on to the story. And as a consequence, I was awake for over an hour. Didn't have to be that way. You see the ways we inflict our own suffering with what we're telling ourselves. You see, the unadorned experience does not create pain. It simply is. Our unhappiness comes from the narrative that we create around it. When we release that narrative, when we let that narrative go, just really saying in our own minds, yeah, I'm not going to go there right now. I'm going to focus on what is. When we let that narrative go, we set ourselves free. Free. Whew, it's great. We also allow ourselves to slow down because we bring ourselves back into the present moment. And not only do we slow down, we also open up to a whole other dimension of being because we're present. We're not rethinking the past or racing ahead to the future. We're in the beautiful, eternal now. A whole different place of being. Jesus knew this, and he called it the kingdom of heaven. And he made it very clear that the only way to access this place of peace and abundance and joy, was in the present moment. In the Gospel of the Beloved Companion, the complete Gospel of Mary Magdalene, it also shows up in the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus tells his disciples, "You will not find the Spirit by seeking in the past or looking into tomorrow. The kingdom can only be found in what is before your face." He even goes so far as to say to the disciples, "You do not know how to examine the present moment." You do not know how to examine the present moment. You know, this pandemic, as tragic, as tumultuous as it is giving us the opportunity to examine the present moment. Isn't it true? This sort of outer slowing down can prompt an inner slowing down so that we're more aware, so that we notice, so that in fact we can see what is right before our faces. You know, I don't know about you, but already it seems to me that we are perceiving ourselves and each other and even our world differently because of what we are experiencing now. Because we are being sort of pulled more into the present moment with the uncertainty of the future. So here are some of the ways in which I think our perception is perhaps being altered. So on the one hand, that's me. On the one hand, we're more alone because we're isolated. But on the other hand, we're more connected than we've ever felt. We really have a sense of our oneness, how what we do affects other people and what they do affects us. I also find that we're beginning to lift our gaze, to raise our gaze. Remember, it wasn't all that long ago that we were going through life like this. Everybody looking down at their phones, right? Everybody just buried in that, completely not present. But now we go out for a walk and we see this. People lifting their gaze and looking at one another, waving to each other. And neighbors are coming up with all sorts of innovative ways to see each other. And we may even find that not only are we lifting our gaze from looking down, looking to each other, but we're actually also looking up. We're looking up at the beautiful blue sky, at the beautiful trees. And I did that recently while lying in our hammock. And this is how it looked. I'd never really looked up there before like that. You see, our perspective has expanded. It's also true now that when we see other people, our first inclination is to see sameness rather than difference. We see the ways in which we are alike. No matter where they are, no matter where they live, however different they may be than us, we have that sense of all being in this together, all going through the same things. All those outer differences don't really matter right now. We also feel our hearts opening up in deeper ways with gratitude and compassion, that great gift of oneness. On Friday, I was walking through our neighborhood and our mail carrier drove by and he had a mask on. And we waved to each other. And for whatever reason, that little encounter got me all choked up. You see, these are some of the gifts when we come into the present moment. And the reality is that everything that we seek, that inner stillness, that slowing down, that sense of comfort and assurance, it's all there for us. It's all there for us at the heart of our being. And to find it, we must free ourselves of the incessant commentary of our chattering mind. At least recognize, oh, that's a lot of chatter. Because remember, the drama is optional. To come into the present moment, we can use all of our tools in our spiritual toolbox. We can use prayer. We can use meditation. We can remember to breathe. Shall we do that together? Not that you haven't been breathing. But shall we do that together? Three deep breaths. Let's see how it feels. In and out. Ready? In. And out. In. And out. One more time. In. And let go. Powerful practice. We can do it anytime. We can also make a mental note to accept what is rather than fighting with it in our minds. It shouldn't be this way. This shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't have to do this, blah, blah, blah. It is what it is. Accept it. Move on. And as you move on, you might look at single tasking rather than multitasking, another great way to slow ourselves down. Those of you watching on Facebook today, if you have ways that you slow yourself down on the inside, I invite you to send them in on the comments. I'll check my phone when we have, or after the meditation. And certainly one way to bring ourselves back into the present moment is to look for the blessings. And the blessings are so there. I'm not minimizing the loss. I'm not minimizing the fear. But we can be aware of the blessings that are pouring into our lives. And you know, I'm reminded of that every time we have an event. We get together on Facebook or Zoom, even now, when I see all the names of people in our community and the hearts and the emojis and the beautiful words of support and love pouring in. Oh, so many blessings. This has always been such a fantastic community, but I can't think of any time I've ever seen that demonstration of love and support any sweeter than it is right now. I'm convinced that when we come through this, our appreciation for what we have will be greater than anything we've ever experienced. You know, they say that the deeper your sorrow, the greater your capacity for joy. So just imagine with me the abundant joy we'll feel when we've come through this. This is a hard time, but it's also an extraordinary one. In our lifetimes, this is the greatest opportunity we have witnessed for humanity to awaken. And each of us can take that challenge to heart and awaken within us. We don't have to move. In fact, it wouldn't work to move now anyway, but we don't have to move to the Caribbean or Bali or Europe to slow ourselves down. We can just tune into that presence within us, not believe everything we think. Say no to the drama. Stay present. Pay attention. And behold the wonders unfolding all around you and within you. Now. And always. Now. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes to get comfortable in your seat. Take a deep breath in. And let it go. Breathing in again. Beautiful energy of a new day unfolding. Feeling our love and connection. Release and let go. Feeling yourself grounded and centered, fully present, fully aware. I invite you in this moment to call into your mind any situation that is causing you upset, any source of fear or worry or angst, whatever the situation may be. And I invite you to ask yourself the question, how would this feel to me? How would this experience be if I removed any unnecessary commentary? If I just beheld the situation as it is and let go of whatever worry or drama or upset I may have created around it. What if in this moment I just see the situation and relieve myself of that suffering? I invite you to connect in this very powerful way with the present moment, to free yourself, accepting what is, having faith in the next now moment. You'll know what to do. Feel those beautiful messages moving in and through you, calming you, reassuring you, bringing you into the now for a few moments in the silence. Give thanks for this opportunity to slow ourselves down on the inside, something we can do at any time, bringing ourselves into this present moment, hearts wide open, ready to receive the blessings of now, and in the next moment, that now. For all of this, we're so grateful. We're so grateful to be learning these teachings that change our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So it is. Amen.